Rock and Roll Heretic, The Life and Times of Rory Tharp, a novel written by Sikivu Hutchinson, narrated by Elvinette L. Piard. Highway 17. Cold, dank, and terminally fucked with slanting rain was the forecast they'd heard on all the news stations that afternoon. The coach bus rutted forward, sagged backward, helplessly mired in the sinkhole mud of Highway 17, bracing itself for more jackhammer tears of the apocalypse. Rory cursed out a prayer, then restrained herself.
"Damn it! Get the defroster on,"
she said to Mick, the driver.
"Sure thing, Chief. Anything else you need?"
"Coffee. Lots." He rustled out a thermos from his pocket and gave it to her. She swigged, grimacing.
"Black sewer water? I can't drink this crap straight up."
"Non-negotiable."
"Fuck me."
The gig was 2 hours away. A special 9 at night consolation slot dredged up for them in limp hocus pocus by their manager Russ, a gutter snipe who could spin a dried up cotton ball into a buck. They'd be the backup band for a beer jingle produced by Harlan Carruthers, sloth-eyed, white, ever ready with a court jester grin, lugging around a 24/7 mini dental kit for his oral afflictions.
"Always dug your stuff, Rory. All those funky licks of yours," Harlan said when they were negotiating. "But like, I got zero musical ear on my own, man. I could only do the simplest chopsticks kind of shit on the piano."
"How much, Harlan?" she asked. He twisted his mouth, a yellow fang peeking from between his pimpled lips.
$500, all cash."
"What?"
$550, then. I gotta get this thing in the can, Rory.
You all are my last hope."
$600.
$575.
"Brand larceny."
"That's the best I can do, Rory. The skinflints are riding me, squeezing me for every penny I got for the recording time at this fucking shit-can studio. Promise, though. Once I get this together, there'll be plenty more sessions where this came from. Swear on a stack of Gideons."
That's how she'd negotiated up from a little more than chicken feed. After the gas cost for the bus, after the 2-for-1 blue plate special botulism they ate every night, after the group smokes and the medicinal stash of booze they'd put in the trunk, after the last dregs of the fee had been divvied up among the band, it would come out to a grand total of $54.60 for her. At the wheel, staring into the gray muck of the evening, Mick muttered through his usual litany.
"Wish I'd learned to play properly, read music, practice and shit. Gotten beyond the washed-up, never-was bass guitarist with the busted hand."
Piddling gigs stretched from week to week, never-ending. Checks dribbled in, bill payments rocketed out. And how was she supposed to weather all of it? Stay awake, stay present, keep on her feet, beat back the round midnight demons running scrimmage in her head, and balance the company budget? Make sure all the scamps on the bus, all the men who depended on her, were warm, washed, fed, and at their fighting weight for the next bout?
"Shut the fuck up, Mick! Christ!"
"Taking his name in vain again?"
Butch, the band's keyboardist, sat up from his seat in the second row, blinking blearily through itchy contacts, blowing hot air into his hands, a dented harmonica swinging from his speckled neck.
"Mick's gone and stole my fucking glasses. He don't want me to see how bad it is out there."
"Won't make it to the studio by 9, Rory said.
"If it stops pissing buckets, we will," Mick replied.
Butch rubbed the harmonica on the front of his shirt.
"From your lips to God's ear."
Mick scowled, eyeing the desolate trickle of cars on the opposite side of the highway.
"This front's supposed to move out of here in a minute."
Butch leaned over to Rory.
"I hear Harlan's paying us less than shit."
"It ain't the pay, it's the exposure."
"A few chords selling rot gut? Come on, Rory."
"Brand's big in the Midwest."
"What do we need those knuckle draggers for? I'm sick of playing pissy little holes in the wall." Gee. It's the top of the hour. Butch must be on the soapbox again, Mick said. Keep your eyes on the road and your hands up on the wheel. Just get us the fuck out of here, brother, Mick grunted. Not your brother, Hambone. Least not tonight.
The three of them stared out the windshield into the wet dark. A truck struggled into view, all white light and mud flaps, a child waving at them from the gloom of the bed. Mick perked up. Damn, what's that kid doing out in the back like that in this kind of weather? They watched as the truck zigzagged, maneuvering around the hub-sized craters in the sodden blacktop, the sky above splitting down the middle, venting righteous bile. Rory hated rain, but had always liked the smell. Basked in the clouds Koi presentimong when she was a kid learning Godzilla chords loop-de-loop up the neck of her first guitar, deeded to her by her grandmother. The smell of rain took her by the hand to the first time she played hard. Getting her calluses, making the strings obey, doing crazy quilt pickings in REM sleep. The truck dipped, then hydroplaned, smashing through an exit sign. Rory hopped up from her seat. She signaled Butch to stop. He clunked to the side of the road, opening the door. Rory ran into the rain, the two men tumbling out behind her. Steam rose from the truck's hood. The driver sprawled in the front seat, his head a corona of blood blooming against the steering wheel. Butch rattled the door.
It's too busted to open, he said.
He rapped on the window as Rory searched the empty truck bed, then went over to the passenger's side.
Where's the kid?
She scanned the shoulder of the road, peering around the guardrail where the truck had crashed. The embankment below, a mess of shredded tires from semis, fast food wrappers, ratty clothes, melted construction cones from a long-ago fire that had blackened the underbrush into the maw of Jupiter. Thurston, her drummer, ran out to them with a flashlight, the faded red lips of a Stones t-shirt pouting out from his scrawny white torso.
Take this,
he handed the flashlight to Rory, shaking his head at the damage to the truck.
Detroit's finest, one step below junk. Come on, help me, Rory yelled.
They stepped over the guardrail as Butch and Mick opened the passenger door to the truck, calling out to the injured man. The child was twisted up under a tarp from the truck, blinking out of mud-encrusted eyes. Thurston reached his hand out.
You okay, little man? We're gonna get you out of there.
I'm not a man, the child croaked.
Whatever. Let's just get you out of there.
They lifted the child up from the tarp.
What's your name? Mick asked.
Sid.
He gestured to the truck.
That your father in there?
Uncle.
They helped Sid over the truck as Mick clambered into the front seat, cringing at the blood. He shook his head at Rory.
Looks like he's fading fast.
Christ. How are we gonna get an ambulance out into this mess and get to the session on time?
Can't.
Thurston bowed his head, closing his eyes in prayer.
Motherfucking Jesus, do something.
Butch grit his teeth.
The man's dying. That ain't gonna do shit.
We've got to get this rat-trap piece of shit out of here. Get to a phone booth or a hospital or something.
Thurston sneered at him.
What do you suggest we do? Levitate it?
Butch put his hand up to silence him. Thurston was a dumb bunny white trash runt as far as he was concerned. Never voted, never talked politics, never took his stoner beak out of his drum kit long enough to dabble in the outside world. Gorged on foot fetish porn behind the bus every time they did a pit stop. Jack-o'-lantern here standing straight on end as he came. Sid watched the smashed truck impassively. Rory surveyed the child's thin, shivering body, hair kinked in dark tendrils around her closed face, a look like Rory's own, snaking back to 40 years ago when the world had begun to reveal itself to her, the grinning skull beneath the skin.
Screw it,
the child rasped.
What?
Butch asked.
Screw prayer,
she said. Rory stiffened, guiding the girl and Butch away from the wreckage. Take her back to the bus. Sid shook her head.
No!
You can't stay here. You'll catch your death of cold.
What's gonna happen to my uncle?
We're going to try to get him an ambulance. They walked along the shoulder back toward the bus. Headlights flickered from the north, washing over them. Rory waved her hands at the oncoming car. It hurtled past.
Mick, get your ass over here! Next car comes by, we need you to flag it down, she yelled.
Why him?
'Cause he's white.
Mick nodded, accepting his call of duty.
Come on, motherfuckers,
he muttered into the wind, willing another car to appear on the horizon. Rory headed back to the truck where Butch was watching over the uncle.
He's fading, Butch said.
The man gurgled, lanky body crushed like an accordion, fingers bunching up around a wrapper congealed with cheese, the crumbly dust of a jack-in-the-box hamburger smeared on the seat. Sid edged closer, eyes blank, bottomless.
Is he gonna die?
Hope not, sweetheart, Thurston said. We're gonna try to do everything we can.
Headlights swept over them. Rory snapped her fingers.
Jackpot! Work your magic, Mick!
Mick waved his arms over his head at the oncoming car. A two-tone Cadillac Fleetwood, nicked hood ornament nursing the soggy remains of pink, just-married confetti. A white woman wearing a cowboy hat leaned out of the window, wiping drizzle from her face.
Whoa! What the hell's going on?
She paused, squinting up at Rory.
Holy shit! You're that guitar lady, right? Starts with an R, right?
She squinted again, trying to remember the rest.
Maybe, Rory said.
Starting out, the C chord is the Mississippi River and its tributaries all rolled up into one. A rough ride, but sweet if you do it just right. Catch it at a decent hour without the bend of rush hour traffic. This is what the fret-fet sharecroppers told her she could do real good as a four-year-old finding her way around the guitar neck in Cotton Plant, Arkansas. Good as Looney Tunes dynamite crackling under Wile E. Coyote's butt. Good as ice cream down your back on a 105-degree summer afternoon. Good as a balcony church pew battling the sleep of the dead during a boring-as-shit sermon. But first, 1943. Women dragged together in mopey two-steps at the Savoy, zeroing in on the men gathering on the sidelines to watch, swirling vodka in their shot glasses, fingers stiff from the New York cold. Rory hopped around on stage, trying to keep warm, ice blasts blowing through the door as soldiers dribbled in, tired eyes popping from the smoke in the dark. There were three women for every male. The soldiers reveled in the attention. Young chests swimming with fresh stripes.
We made it out alive from Europe's carnage. Double, triple dare you, America the Beautiful, to try and beat us down.
The Savoy was the only club Rory and the band were booked at that week. Pell-mell days on 2 hours sleep and snatched rehearsal time as riots rocked Upper Manhattan after a Negro man had been shot by the police. Her first time being in Harlem at the top of the bill. And what the fuck did they have to go and riot for, Rory thought. The tenement walk-up her sometime agent Columbus had arranged for her to stay in was on a block that had been shut down by the police. Now she would have to kill time flopping on the city bus. It was during these moments that her mother liked to visit her, staggering in on the Sherman Tank church heels she'd refitted with plywood soles, a wraith imitating a good, God-fearing woman when nobody was watching. Prophetess Katie, they called her, or so she made them call her.
'Cause I'm just as much an oracle as any goddamn bootleg divinity school Negro, Katie proclaimed on her fifth shot of Jack Daniels,
smacking her lips at the sorry spectacle of Rory shoehorned in the back seat of the bus, nursing the blisters on her fingers.
Let me see, Katie said, grabbing Rory's left hand, putting it in her mouth to soothe it, like she had done when Rory was just starting to learn scales. Mother Spit has special properties. Healing agents.
medicinal gold. They'd bottle this shit and farm it out to all the doctors if they could. Don't think I'm telling the truth? Well, it brought you back from the dead, Missy.